This is the Lens of Beauty podcast with C2. I'm Lisa Roche.
And I'm Christine Toner. We are the founders of C2, Care Redefined. And this isn't a podcast about what lip gloss you're wearing, although we always love a good tip.
It's about the art of healing and how the lens of beauty can be transformative. How, although we felt broken and betrayed, we both found a way to thrive, even in the midst of it all.
We are so glad you are here. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Christine. What are we talking about today?
I want to hear about you, your origin story. I know that it's...
You make me sound like a superhero.
You do wear that well.
Thank you.
I know that... Your story is in a few different parts. So,
yeah, where do we begin? I think it's a really long story if we go all the way to the beginning. So, let's not go back that far.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, what feels comfortable to you?
Yeah. How about, so my role with C2 is concierge care director, which essentially comes down to, I know a lot of things.
Well,
and
say something.
Mm-hmm.
You do know a lot of things. I wouldn't say you are the founder of our concierge care.
Oh, thank you. That's right. Let's back it up.
A lot.
Yes, ma'am. I am the founder of our concierge care. And that's amazing to me. It's an honor. It really is. I think maybe. It's a little overwhelming too, as in like heart-filled overwhelming, not like daunting or anything like that. But I think essentially what it comes down to is that I know a lot of things. I've been through a lot of different experiences. And when it comes down to holistic modalities, I am constantly, you know me, I'm just constantly researching and learning and experiencing and trying all the new things that I can possibly, you know, shove in my brain and experience.
It's like you don't sit still, but you sit, but you're still. Is that you understand that peace and calm so much. You exude it and then you teach it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Mastery levels. Let me ask you this. Just list out your mastery levels in the modalities that you have. Let's start.
Sure.
Start with.
So I'm a gyrotonic instructor. My creds. This is my street cred.
Yeah.
My kids would be laughing at me right now. Street cred. So I'm a gyrotonic instructor. A Reiki master, a Feng Shui master, and a medical intuitive. Very clear and open channel. So for things like, I guess it's a form of mediumship and psychic connection, but really. Really what it comes down to. I'm not like one of those people who can sit there on a stage. And I always think of, you know, like Johnny Carson, when he would cover his eyes and he would read. And I'm not that person. I'm not like some sit around a table and make it shake kind of person. I'm just not like that. I channel energy. I connect to energy. I keep my body, my mind, my spirit as clean and clear as possible. So that as much information can come through.
And the experiences that you've had that we're going to talk about have really helped that for you.
For sure. For sure.
To the highest degree. And then I also want to add to our listener.
Hello, listener.
Yeah. That Lisa is the truest and most authentic person this gift that she has is so true and so, so authentic, but it's also so grounded and so based in reality in terms mm-hmm. of science, because there is science out there that supports all of the modalities that you are a master, you know, have mastery level with. So that's where I have found as a woman going through cancer, I found you to be just that firmly planted root that I could hold on to, you know?
Thank you.
You were
That's
saying
a huge compliment. Thank you.
Well, you deserve it. And now in my healing journey, you continue to be that, and you bring that to our guests, and everything that I want to put out into the world, you sort of embody in reality, in, you know, practicality, and also in beauty, you know? So there's like this totality that I am just so grateful for that you are building with me. So,
oh, thank you. My husband and I have this joke. It's from Seinfeld. Elaine, somebody once asked her, like, do you have any grace? And she said, I have some grace. And the woman said, can't have some grace. You either have grace or you don't. And we laugh because I always say, well, I have some grace. I try really hard. And then a curse comes flying out of my mouth. And then that's not so very graceful.
Yeah, we do funny. Swear.
Yes, listener, there's your fair warning. We swear.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. So I would say like there was a lot of buildup to my big frying pan in the face moment. Yeah. And that's I know you call it your 2x4, and mine was like a frying pan to my face, quite literally. One day I was out to breakfast with a couple of friends, which ironically, I was there with a breast cancer survivor. And we were there supporting a friend who was waiting for her test results. She was waiting for her diagnosis of breast cancer. Did they get it all? Did they not get it all? Was she going to have to go to radiation, chemo, or whatnot? Right. And I was sitting there. I remember friend to my left, friend to my right, looking left to right, when all of a sudden it was like this giant hand on the back of my head. It felt like it just grabbed my head and squeezed.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh shit, do I have low blood sugar? I mean, I'm sitting here.
Right.
I'll get a muffin or whatever. And my one friend looked at me and she was like, you don't look so good. And I said, I think I have low blood sugar. And she went and she got me some juice and she got me a muffin, and that did nothing. And then eventually, within all of this, you would think it took, you know, 20 minutes, a half an hour. It was actually within seconds, right? I just blacked out, completely blacked out. And when I came to, I couldn't see. Everything was blurry with just a hazy pinhole. Very interesting. And I couldn't really hear. Everything was either so loud it sort of echoed in my brain, or it was so quiet I couldn't quite get those syllables and the words. So I couldn't hear, I couldn't see. And then when I tried to stand up, I couldn't.
Wow.
I was really super dizzy, really super weak. And my friends, I remember being dragged out, and I drove there. And in my brain, I'm thinking, well, how the hell do I get my car? Like, how do I get my car home? What is happening? And then my hand was on the wall. And I remembered feeling the wallpaper, the texture of the wallpaper, and telling myself, this is bumpy. This is the meaning of bumpy. I was starting to define my world in a different way.
Wow.
Through feel, through touch, because that was the only sense
that you had.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was really trying to get my center of balance. So long story longer.
No.
It took 9 months.
Wow. Which is so ironic that it's 9 months.
I know, right? That's not lost on me. 9 months for a new Lisa to to get birthed into the world.
Yeah.
Over that 9-month period, I got worse. It didn't matter what doctor I saw, didn't matter the specialist. I just continued to get worse and nobody could understand it. And I tried absolutely everything. I had every test, tried all sorts of medications. And then my sister, what was that?
Can I just interject? Yeah. Mind you, you had little kids.
I did.
You didn't have grown children like you have now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've got young adults now. And back then, how fucking scary, right? How scary is that? Right. My daughter was a freshman in high school.
Right.
Our son was in middle school. They didn't know. Our entire family was like, what in the hell
is happening?
Super vibrant, strong, athletic. I was a coach. I was a gyrotonic instructor. So much. How did this happen? In a blink, in a snap.
In a frying pan to the face.
Frying pan to my face. And the doctor's telling my husband, well, I mean, you're going to have to make accommodations. And I was in PT. I was in a wheelchair. I couldn't hold my head up. I couldn't sit up. Couldn't feed myself independently. There were like these little standout moments. I remember going to vote and I couldn't hold the pen. My husband was pushing me in the wheelchair and I couldn't hold the pen. So they just had me hold it in my fist. Right.
Right.
And then I couldn't remember how to sign my name.
Wow.
Ooh, Christine, I'm probably going to cry, but I couldn't. I knew the letters in my head. I could not get it to translate into anything, any kind of signature. And I remember this little old woman, she crouched down and whispered in my ear, just sign an X.
Oh.
And she said, that counts. And I said, and I was shaking, but no one could hold my hand, right? Because then it doesn't count as your signature. So everybody had to like hands off. And very shakily, I could see an X in my head. And I just took my left hand to my right hand and I
moved it,
forced myself to sign anything and like in a long squiggly. So it's like these weird standout moments like that.
Yeah. It's powerful.
Super powerful. And then after 9 months, my sister, in the midst of all the chaos, my sister said, listen, you've tried everything. And my sister's a nurse. And she said, why don't you go see this chiropractor? I have a colleague who has a friend who has sort of similar symptoms to you. Go see this chiropractor. So I go to see this chiropractor and she was freaking awesome. By that point, I couldn't shower. Like we laugh about it now because every time I went to shave my right armpit, I passed out. There was something about the act of raising my right arm that made me pass out. So I had a really hairy right armpit, but a clean left armpit. And I couldn't wash my hair or I would pass out. So like I would just sit and wash as much as I could. It's so gross. So I remember sitting in this doctor's office and I'm like gross, you know, just gross and invisible to everyone around me. I didn't feel seen. I certainly didn't feel heard or understood. All these doctors trying, but nobody helping.
Depending on anything.
Anything, right? Anything. And this chiropractor came to me. She knelt down and I felt hands on my knees before she spoke. And that was like outside of my husband.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah.
My kids were afraid to touch me. My family didn't want to touch me. Doctors were afraid that they were making me worse. Mm-hmm. And this woman, she put her hands on my knees. And she came in really close and she said, this is your atlas. We're going to help you. And if you feel like you need to throw up, all of the trash cans are mesh. So ask for a bag. And I burst out laughing because Like the visual is me puking into a mesh trash can and vomit, like just pouring out the sides. Yeah. Right. And I laughed. And that was the first time I had laughed in 9 months.
Gosh.
Right. I mean, I it was shocking. But anyway, so she gave me my very first adjustment. And in about 10 minutes, I got my vision back. No lie.
Oh my gosh. In,
like while she's sitting there talking to me, things are coming into focus. Yes. And I looked at her and she looked at me and she said, "You can see me now, can't you?" And I just burst out into tears and I said, "Yes." And she looked at my husband and she said, "Go get sunglasses. Do you have sunglasses?"
Oh.
And he said, "Yeah, I've got some in the car." She said, "Quick, you've got to go get those, because the second we leave this room, which is all dimmed light and moody and nice," she said, "it's going to burn. Her retinas are going to burn. So she needs to have protection." And sure enough, I mean, that was, no doubt that burned. But we did that, went back and forth to see her about 3 times a week. And I would hold.
How long did you go? You must have went frequently. Yeah.
Yeah. I went about 3 times a week because I could hold the adjustment until I went to sleep. And every time I went to bed, it became, out of adjustment again, out of alignment.
You know what I mean? Like, you need sleep. So it's like, why?
Right. So like, what the hell? You know what I mean? It was just this. Yeah. And so it was this little bit of a roller, not a little bit. It was a hell of a roller coaster of, my God, I'm getting my life back.
Yeah.
You know, I'm back to ground zero. And maybe this time it holds, and then.
Oh my God.
So my lowest point, I was collapsed on my family room floor, sobbing. And I mean, at that point I was like, I've tried absolutely everything. Like, is this it? Right. Is this it? Is this my life where I get hours of hope? Because it's like, to be really clear, you don't go from like 30% functionality to 100% for a couple of hours. You go from 30 to 50 and you're like, maybe I can get to 55.
Yep.
But in that moment, I completely and utterly broke. And I remember the words I said, "Dear God, please take me the burden from my family. This pain is too great. I hurt, like my body hurts. It's too much. I'm a burden. It's too much. I can't walk to the bathroom. Like, I can't function. It's too much. Take me the burden away."
Gosh.
Now, on one level, I thought I was begging to die. I really did. God had other plans, right? So what's that saying? God laughs while you're busy making plans. So here I am, like, planning and begging for my death. And God's like, wink, nudge, nudge. Guess what? So there I was laying on the family room floor. And in the midst of that chaos, that begging, the pleading, I went into meditation, deep, deep meditation, because I was listening to Ramadasa, which is a chant for neurological healing. And I was listening to that while begging, and I slipped into, probably a catatonic state had anybody walked into the room.
Wow.
And while I was in that deep, deep, deep state of meditation, I heard, "You have all the answers you need. Every answer you need is inside you. You already have it."
Right.
And I was like, okay, I've got all the answers. Okay. All right. How do I get to them? How do I get to the answers? Ask for help. So I was like, okay, all right. I hereby promise. I am Lisa Roche. I hereby promise to listen to you. I don't know what you are, but I know that you're a higher power. I feel the vibration of it. It's very hard to explain. It was as if a light filled me and I could hear the light speaking.
Wow.
That's the only way I can explain it. So I swore, I called to that power God, higher source, soul, light, love. And I was like, okay, I promise I will follow every instruction. And then I came out of meditation. It was very quick, came right out. And I was like, okay, so all I have to do is ask for help. Mm-hmm. Great. How do I do that? I'm like a type A person. Now, what?
Now I want.
And now, I'm glad. I'm happy to ask for help. Who am I going to ask? And that same voice said, go to Facebook. And here I am, like seconds prior, going, I will say yes to absolutely everything. And I hear, go to Facebook. And I'm like, wait, what? What? You want me to do what? Go to Facebook. I mean, okay. So I go onto Facebook, and the very, very first post is for a group in our town called Buy Nothing. Right. I wasn't a member of this.
For that group. Yep.
Yeah. Right. I was not a member of this group. It should not have been up on my feed. It's a private group. And yet the very first post is this woman in Buy Nothing saying, it's the Easter season. And instead of giving something up, I want to give back. I want to be able to help somebody. So if you need help, please private message me. And I burst out into tears because I immediately, the shame was overwhelming, the guilt, the embarrassment. I swear to you, my very first thought was, I can't ask for help. Nobody knows that I'm suffering like this. What will people think? If they know that I'm suffering like this, what will they like? It was this weird ass turned around, ask for help, but I can't ask for help because then people will know that I need help. Like what?
Wow. Wow.
But I kept hearing that voice, ask for help, ask for help. So I did it. I messaged her and I said, you know, I'm in PT. I'm learning how to walk again. And it could take 20 minutes to a half an hour, but I swear to God, all I need to do is get to the neighbor's house and back. If I walk another circle in my home, like I'm going to go bonkers. So she said, okay. So she comes on over and she, and I remember this, it was so vivid. I remember her helping me with my coat. My brother-in-law was in the kitchen prepping dinner because my husband was out of town. And this woman takes me out. It's the Easter season, right? So it's like March, April.
Yeah, it's probably now.
Yeah, now that, yeah, we're filming this or recording this and it's March 10th. But she took me out and I closed my eyes because it was fresh air.
Wow.
And it started to snow, like just a little bit of a snow flurry. And I could feel every single individual flurry hit my skin.
Wow.
And it was... I mean, what a gift. What a gift to just to have that clean, fresh air. It was quiet. And anyway, we start walking and small talk because, you know, I move like a snail. And he's asking me what happened. And I said, you know, it's this thing. It's this bone. It's called the Atlas. No one's ever heard of it. And she stops and she says, I know exactly what's going on with you.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, what do you do? No one, literally. No one, with the exception of one chiropractor, the next town over knows what the hell is going on with me. And she said, oh no, I know exactly what's going on with you. I had the exact same injury. It's just not as bad as you, but I know exactly who you should see. And I was like, what? She's like, don't even worry about it. I'll come in. I'll write everything down for you because you're not going to remember all the details anyway. So because your short-term memory is for shit. And I was like, yeah, it really is. Like, you get me. But she came in, she wrote down this doctor's name, number.
Wow.
Turns out he was only two towns away, like close, this specialist. And she left and I'm staring at this post-it. And I say to my brother-in-law, I don't know if I should call. I've been to every specialist.
Yes.
I'm okay. Like I'm doing okay. Right. I'm making progress. I don't want to fuck all this up. Like, but cause I'm making progress. Yeah. And he dropped everything. You heard utensils crash into pans. And he comes to me and he says, Lisa, when an angel comes to you and gives you the out, shows you the way, who are you to say no? Yeah, right. And I immediately thought of you know, they tell, there's this story about someone who they stand on the roof of the house in a storm and they're like, God save me, God save me. And a boat comes by and they say, no, thank you, I'm waiting for God. And a helicopter, no, thank you. Right. All of these things. And I was like, I'm that person on the top of the house. Like, holy shit.
You know.
So I called. And this I remember crystal clear because it was a Monday evening at like 7 o'clock. I called.
Wow. Which is sort of an odd time, right?
So random. But I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to leave a message.
Yeah, I'll leave a message.
I said yes. And I have the courage to do this right now. So I'm just going to call.
Yep.
And let's be clear. And then it's on them. They have to call me back. They have to, right?
Let's just say how true that is, that fatigue,
yes,
that doctor upon doctor upon doctor, like that is real.
Sure. And it's PTSD. Let's be really clear about that.
I was just going to say that. It is traumatizing.
Yes, absolutely.
So I understand 100% your inability to want this next thing because you're like, I'm done. I don't need, I don't want to relive this all. Like, you know, so
that was it. I was like, I'm going to have to tell my goddamn story to another person. Oh, like I have to go through all of this when I don't want to have to retell being on antipsychotics that didn't work. I don't want to have to retell passing out every fight. Like, I don't want to have to do that when I'm okay.
Yeah. I need to just deal with what I have, right? I need to just.
Yeah.
Thank your brother-in-law though, for being
right
place, right? To guide you because, and I love that you take the road where you don't have to tell the story right then and there. You don't have to explain to the receptionist or whatever. Cause
right.
It's, you know, it's just, here's my thing. Call me. It's in your plate.
Correct. And I was like, it's exhausting enough shaking.
Yes.
Making that call to once again,
yep,
get my hopes up, like afraid to hope.
Yep.
I mean, it, like that, and by the way, is a recurring theme, like afraid to hope, to dream, to think of a possibility like that. It's huge. So there I was on a Monday night at 7 p.m. I call every intention of just leaving a message and of course, because this is the way that it happens.
Yes.
The receptionist, the office manager answers the phone. And I said to her,
Ooh. Oh,
I was expecting to leave a message. And she said, yeah. And I was going to let it go to the machine, but I just hung up and I had just, you know, started to walk away when the phone rang and I thought, I need to pick that one up. Mm. So she answered and I said, I need to schedule an appointment to see if the doctor can help me. And she said, and this is why I answered the phone, because I just hung up with someone who canceled for Wednesday at 2 p.m. Can you make it?
And this was Monday. Like,
and this was Monday night.
Months to get in, right?
Oh, this yeah. He had a 2-month waiting list, yeah, this doctor.
Yeah.
Because he's a specialist, like minute specialty.
And right? One person. And yeah, you're lucky you could even get an appointment in 2 months. Yeah.
Right. Right. Correct.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Right. So I go to him on that Wednesday and sure enough, he says, yep, you have all the hallmarks. Let's take x-rays. And I was like, this is the thing, right?
Yep.
To another round of x-rays. Like, this is exhausting. It was exhausting enough for you to put your hands on me. It's exhausting enough for me to fill out all these freaking forms again. But I mean, okay.
I'm here.
So let's go.
I'm listening.
And it's really hard, but all right, I'll do it. But he took a series of x-rays that were so different. He shot through my jaw. I had to open my mouth, through my mouth, right? Shot side of my neck, through my ears, like all of these different angles. That when I saw those x-rays, I went, holy, are you freaking kidding me? Right. I've been wandering around like that because my very first vertebrae had shifted to the right and twisted forward.
Wow.
My brainstem was condensed. My the major artery was condensed. Like everything. I looked at him and I said, I mean, forgive my questions, but how am I even upright? I don't understand this. How am I upright? And he was like, it's a miracle. I'm going to be honest with you. And I said, can you please tell me that I'm not the worst you've ever seen? And he says, you don't want to be the worst. And I said, exactly. I'm asking you to please tell me I'm not the worst. Please.
Yeah.
Because everybody up until now is like, ooh, never seen this before. You're like the 0.001%. Like, I don't want to be the outlier anymore.
No,
and he said, you're not.
I just want to be
right. I just want to be in that normal range. Just get me in there. I don't even care if it's like by a toe, but get me there. And he said, no, you're not the worst I've ever seen. It's not great, but it's not the worst. And I said, okay.
That.
And I said, well, explain this to me. Like, how am I getting any brain signals? And he said, you have brain fog. You're not getting full signals. You're not getting full blood flow. Your cerebral spinal fluid is not making its way all the way up around your brain. It's why you're passing out. You're fatigued. You can't think straight. Dizziness. It's why all of this is happening. And I went, well, how can we fix this? He said, you come here.
My gosh.
So, yeah.
Wow.
He used a sound wave. So here's now my intro into, I was already in the world of gyrotonic, the gyrotonic method. So I was already in the world of holistic modalities in terms of physicality, how to keep your body really healthy, strong, nimble. And the yoga and gyrotonic, Pilates, swimming, you know, dance. I say dance because I love to dance, not because I'm a dancer. I'm a dancer in my heart.
Yeah. And a musician.
And a musician. So like all of these, I had like maybe waded into the waters of there must be something more into the world of. And when he told me, yeah, I use a sound wave to shift the bone. And I said, because all of hands-on chiropractic adjustments are temporary for me. It's as if my body says, oh, that was a little too aggressive. And he said, yeah, that's why we use a sound wave. It's so gentle that the bone responds. It's like playing pool, right? You use the cue stick to hit the white ball that goes and hits the colored ball that then moves.
Yeah.
It was that philosophy of getting the bone to move. So he used all of those x-rays to come up with all of the
movements,
angles
to
set this machine. And I laid on my side and I cried because I immediately saw like my head getting lopped off and rolling across the room and like, I'll never see my family again. So I'm sobbing.
Yeah.
And this poor guy, such a good guy, such an amazing doctor. He's like, why are you crying? And I said, well, because you're about to behead me. And I'm never going to see my family again. And I'm like on my side looking at my husband and my husband's just going like closes his eyes and shakes his head because he's like, this is my life. And I was like, so I need to say goodbye. And he was like, okay. And he just pats my hand. He's so awesome. Italian guy too. Like just this nice Italian guy. He's just pats my hand and he was like, okay. And he's getting me situated as I'm sobbing. Messy, ugly cry. I love you to my husband. Please tell the children I love them. And he's like, okay, are you ready? And I was like, uh-huh. And he goes, okay, good, because it's done.
That is an incredible bedside manner.
That's, hello. I mean,
hello.
I'm like, well, I was like one of those little, like a meme of a baby crying and like the doctor is like, boop, it's over.
And what I think is so lovely too, is he did it right then and there. You didn't have to go back for another appointment.
I did though. I did have to go back. Like but
I mean like right then and there when he said, I know what this is, like,
yes,
you didn't
have
to schedule. You didn't have to like, I don't know, have reports read, you know, all of that diagnostic stuff.
Correct. And it was so efficient.
you know, I know it's necessary, but you have already been through that. And like, here was an answer that was, I want to say, given to you, like absolutely in a very pure, you know, on a silver platter, if you will, kind of like, and we're going to, anyway, I interrupted your story, but I just love
that. No, that's okay. Within a half an hour, I laid there on the table. Within a half an hour, I could sit up independently. I could walk. I walked out of there independently. Can you believe that? I walked into the office, like with my husband as a walker, you know, holding onto his arms. I walked out of there independently. It was so transformative. The office manager, love her. She's crying as she's watching me walk out.
Oh.
I am like seeing the world differently. And, you know, that moment of, oh my God, things could be different. If you align things in your life, things transform.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of your spine as this thoroughfare through your body, and you get that to be very healthy, the rest of your body responds. Just like if you have chaos in your life, if you align all of the parts of your life, things start to flow a little bit more easily. And I took that and I sort of ran with it because I became obsessed.
Yeah.
Absolutely obsessed. If a sound wave could do that, if a chant could get me into a deep state of meditation to connect with a divine voice, and a sound wave could move bones, make physical change in the body, and my body just heals. It was unbelievable that over the following few months, we could track it on my body. You could see red lines light up because those capillaries were filling. Those nerve endings were coming alive. You could see my ear turn bright red, and then all of a sudden I had my hearing back. It was spectacular. I cannot, I had palsy, so I was all drooped on one side, and we watched the muscle tone come back in real time, like sitting there watching TV going, oh, something tingles. And my husband would look and we would watch the muscles contract and lift my jaw back up. And I would go and I would look in the mirror going, oh my God, now my face looks different. It was all of those things. So that, and he gave me a prescription for massage therapy.
Mm.
So that was this introduction into how a modality, which is seen as luxurious, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. It just an absolute treat is necessary. Caring for your body is necessary, which all made sense to me because I was using the gyrotonic method to train muscular pathways, right? Neurological pathways. That's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
But then to utilize massage therapy to try and break up old scar tissue, break down fascia, break down different patterns in the body and reshape them. So this layering and combining effect was already starting to take place in my life.
Yes.
Chiropractic care to get me in alignment, massage therapy to break down neurotissue, back into the studio to use gyrotonic to retrain, to hold myself.
To hold it, yeah.
Right? So there were these three modalities that kept going round and round and round. And when I opened my studio back up again, I would say about 75% of my new clientele were all the exact same Atlas injury. So now it became a protocol. Go to this doctor, get adjusted, come into the studio. We'll retrain your muscles to be able to hold you in alignment so that you don't fall out ever again.
Right.
And then a massage therapist came to work in the studio. So now it became this three-pronged approach where people just started boom, 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 feeling better. And their lives would take off. Like it was the biggest celebration when they would never come back again. You know what I mean? I love that. Absolutely love that. And then like I started to explore Reiki, and that really was part of the COVID time for me. I mean, I had received Reiki for a very long time. I had started learning about it and really educating myself about it. But it wasn't really until COVID that I was like, yeah, you know, it's time. It's time to get certified, I air quote that, because everybody has the capacity for Reiki. You know, it's just that some clients need a piece of paper to look at. But anyway, it was during COVID that I very quickly went through and practiced and certified.
To have been through like that, you know, you can do anything. Like that's the soup. That's why you're a superhero, sister.
Thank you. Yeah, I do learn quickly. Very, very quickly. Like when something has to come into my world, I gobble it up and then I start sharing it immediately. It is. It's really fast.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know your story, but hearing your story again is always so moving, and it just brings to light all of the light that's around you, that surrounds you everywhere you go. And I am just amazed always when I hear it.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
That was the quick and dirty too. Like,
yeah, no, and there's more. So we're going to do, we'll, you know, I think what'll be amazing is to do different parts, you know, because
that'll be fun.
But what I do love is that you found a way, even though you were like, I'm done, listening to your intuition, listening to your higher self, listening to divine guidance, whatever you want to call it, as you did, and you still, you know, found a way through by trusting, you know,
which, let's be honest, trusting is so much harder. I mean, right? If somebody gave me a to-do list, oh, I can do that. I'm a stellar at checking things off of a checklist. I can do that in my sleep. But trusting in higher guidance, trusting in higher self, trusting in intuition, in your instinct, so much harder.
So hard. And you did it, and you had the tools surround you, you know, and so that's why when Lisa Roche says something, you listen. That's just the golden rule. The
makes my life easier. I wish my kids did that.
Yeah, well,
they do it now. They do it now.
They're adults. They're young adults now, so they see it. But when Lisa Roche says, "Oh, you need to eat eggplants," you're like, "Okay, I'm gonna go eat some eggplants." I don't know why, but. Yeah.
Don't need to know why either. Just do it.
It's 100% trusting, right? And I mean, that story is so powerful. I'm so grateful to have it recorded again. Because it just needs to be told. Now you have a couple books out there where it's in the books as well.
Yeah. So there's the Energy Medicine Solution, which is just really neat. Compilation of works from different energy workers. So it's a neat book where you can learn about different modalities from the practitioner themselves. And then they give you like this little freebie to try it out. Here's an exercise. That's a fun book.
A really great book.
And then there's Born to Rise, which is an amazing. People probably consider me blasphemous for saying this, but I do believe it's almost a new Bible. And I don't say those words lightly. I really don't. They are triumphant stories of women who rise. And for me, that's a Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when you get to hear different people's voices and their stories and find inspiration in that.
In their truth, right?
Like in their truth. So another part of my story that I didn't share here today is in that book, Born to Rise. And that That was put together by Kim Fuller.
She's amazing.
She is amazing. We'll have her on.
Yes. We're actually doing something with her in May, I think it is. No, April.
Is it April? Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
We're so good at our stuff.
We get things on the calendar and then we can't remember what we did or when.
No. We have a more formalized approach at some point, but yes, we are going to do a live with her. So it'll be really amazing. She's an incredible storyteller and your story is beautiful, Lee.
She's magical. She can pull your story out of you and show you a version of yourself you did not know existed.
Oh, and
she's incredible.
Photographer as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and right?
Yeah.
She can make you look like $1 million.
Yeah. And you don't even know that
you don't even know it.
It's not all it's not makeup, you know?
No, it's not. No, it is not.
So I wanted to do a quick, if you don't mind, ending rapid fire question.
Ooh, yay. Yes.
Can I do that with you?
Yes, and.
I didn't write that down, so I'm going to stumble, but you get that because that's what I do.
Is just how we chit chat.
Yeah. you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to use our 6 thriving principles because I know
perfect.
I can for them. So number one, what does Lisa Roche do for stillness?
Ooh, I do a lot of things, but there is one thing that I do every single day without fail. And that is listen to a sound healing. Every day, my day starts with listening to a sound healing.
And I have to tell you guys, as you've just witnessed, without those sound waves, Lisa would not be 100% back.
That's right.
Yeah.
Huge advocate of the sound healing.
You send me them. And now I listen to them in the car ride too.
I don't know how you drive while listening to them, but
going to
kudos.
I'm not like asleep or anything, but okay. Number two, surrender. What's your way of surrendering into what life shows you?
So I'm going to say this. When I have to surrender, and surrendering is so hard.
Oh my God. I think it's the hardest of it all.
Surrendering is really, really hard. There are two things that I do when it's really bad and I'm having a really shit time trying to surrender into anything. I will take a shower.
That's cool.
Because, there are certain neurological and physical biological things that happen when you take a shower. And this is a rapid fire answer, so I'm not going to go into that, but I take a shower. Or if it's not so bad, I repeat these words to myself all the time. Not my chair, not my problem. Not my chair, not my problem. And I will see a chair in front of me and purposefully not sit in it.
Right.
Not my chair, not my problem. I will not sit in that. And that allows me to surrender away from drama, like just turn my back on it and walk away. And so for me, surrender doesn't mean to engage into chaos and allow chaos to take me. Surrender for me is, ooh, yeah, no, not my chair, not my problem.
Problem. Not going to sit in it.
Not going to sit in it. No.
Love it. Number three. How do you nourish your body? It could be your mind, it could be your soul, but however you choose to define nourish. I love that word.
Nourish, right? Yeah. Mind, body, soul. Nourishment for me, you know, means mind, body, soul. Yep. And it's hard to pinpoint something because it's literally my entire life. 24/7. That's my number one goal is nourishment. So I'll take it down to like the very core, and that's with my intuition. And the best way that I find to nourish myself is to like take a second and ask myself, what do you need right here, right now? What do you need? So if I'm standing in front of the refrigerator looking for food, what is it that, not what do I want? What do I need right here, right now? And I could be reaching for something like, I don't know, lemon juice and putting that in my water, or a handful of grapes, or a cupcake.
You're intentional. Yeah.
I'm extremely intentional. Extremely. Yes.
So amazing to be down. Thank you. That's just beautiful. Beautiful.
That it's literally everything. Skincare. What do I need right here, right now? What does my skin need for right now? So I have different products, right? Nice. What do I need? Yeah. Music. What do I need? It everything comes down to what do I need, and need equals nourishment to me.
Beautiful. And this kind of rolls into, because you're talking about self as well, radical self-care. There must be a lot of things you do.
Yes.
And it, radical self-care. And I always say radical because I feel like it needs to push you out of your comfort zone, because do you grow, you know, how do you, you know, move forward with, you know, you can't just stay in the status comfort zone, right?
So correct. So I'm going to list two things. One is craniosacral therapy. And that I consider very radical, because for your average person, you can't feel what's going on. So you have to trust, right? Mm-hmm. Two things going on there. And it's either hands-on or energetic. So yeah. My craniosacral therapist is in California. I'm in New Jersey, and I can still feel when she's working on me. That's one. Mm-hmm. Number two is a program called MAP, Make Anything Possible. And that is a reprogramming on the quantum level of your superconscious that removes self-sabotaging behaviors. And again, huge amount of trust, mm-hmm. but holy shit, what an impact.
Yes.
Yeah.
And thanks to you, I've had a couple of experiences with both. And yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And radical at the same time.
And radical. It's so rad.
Yeah. Okay. Number five, community, connection. How do you create that in your life? How do you bring that forward?
So a couple of things. One, and this is not like a shameless plug. It's real. Our C2 call.
Yeah.
Shut up. Mm-hmm. Christine, what you've created with that is so unbelievably magical. Soul to soul connection, soul to soul connection. It's an unbelievable experience. And I get to participate a couple
you
times a week.
Of it 100%. It's not
like
just
it's amazing.
What we've created is amazing. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So that's number one, that soul to soul connection. And then, if I'm connecting my body like to an energy grid, there's nothing better than being barefoot all the time. I'm barefoot all the time. We were once interviewed for a magazine, and the photographer came and needed to take photos, you know, for the cover and for the inside the article and all of that. And I said, asking the producer of it, I said, well, what should we wear? And she said, well, what you would normally wear. And I said, well, I am normally barefoot, like dead of winter, I'll be barefoot. And she's like, if you're comfortable barefoot, be barefoot. And so now you can see me on the cover of this magazine, completely barefoot. But that's I think because I went through such a huge transformative physical experience, I like to feel my feet touching, right? Then there's also this, I like to absorb through my feet. It gives me solace. It gives me peace. So I'll go outside barefoot, then I'll clean my feet off and come inside and wander around barefoot. But I like to be barefoot. It connects me better with my world, the world around me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Beautiful. Speaking of beautiful, the last one is intentional beauty.
Mm. Yeah.
I kind of feel like I know where you're going to go with this, but I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, you probably know. It's feng shui.
Yes, I was hoping.
My life is feng shui. Feng shui is being super purposeful, super intentional with what you have in your surroundings. The physical, most people know about it as in terms of your home. You feng shui your home, right?
Right.
Our homes are an extension of our beings. So I feng shui everything. Feng shui is no different than Reiki to me, which is no different from gyro or intuitive medicine. It's all the same to me. But that is everywhere I look needs to resonate with me.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter. Like I could turn to my left. If I see towels, then they have to look beautiful to me. If I swear to God, if I open up the trash bin, that needs to be beautiful to me, which means like there's no spilled anything. Yeah. There's no crumbs, right? It's simple things like that, where the act of caring for my space and surrounding myself with beauty makes me feel like I live in a state of grace.
Yes.
Right?
Back to your grace.
Helps me get from some grace. Maybe I have grace.
Yeah. And, but I also love, and we're going to do a whole thing on feng shui, but I love to, when you have talked about, even feng shuiing your relationships, right? Like
mm-hmm.
this is yes, environmental, but also like all facets of your life.
Oh, right? Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, my friend, we have made it within our time frame, which is amazing.
Did we really?
Yeah. I mean,
yay,
I think
us.
When we exactly started, but I'm thinking it's about an hour. So that's
fantastic.
That's fantastic.
Kudos to us.
Well, thank you for your story, your beautiful story. I know I can't wait to put it out there in the world because it is so important and it's life affirming, life changing. And just absolutely, I think it's, you personify healing. And so when you understand your backstory, it's like, aha, you know what I mean? It makes complete and total sense. And all, you know, the thread, it's like the thread that I always say that I had in my life is you. And now you understand what that thread is like. It's gold. It's not just a thread. It is just spun in gold. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, listener.
Thanks, listener. If you have any questions, reach out.
Yeah. And we'll talk soon.
Absolutely.
For more connection, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We invite you to join our weekly call on Tuesday and Wednesday mornings. And you can find more information at our website, c2careredefined.com.
Have a wonderful day and week. We are here for you always and always.